Chapter 49. The white flecks floated lazily in the dark sky, growing larger to the eye as they approached the Earth. It was only when they reached an altitude of 100 feet or so that their rapid speed of descent became apparent. A few seconds later, they struck the ice-covered ground, landing with a crackling thud. First to touch down was a trio of large wooden boxes, painted flat white to blend with the surroundings. Then human forms followed, 10 in all, each recoiling into a ball as their feet touched the ground. Instantly, each man stripped off his harness and rolled his parachute into a ball, then quickly buried the entirety beneath a foot of ice. A moderate breeze had scattered the men over a half-mile swath, but within minutes they had assembled near one of the crates. Though it was a moonless night, visibility was better than 100 yards from the stars that twinkled brightly overhead. The men quickly lined up in front of their commander, a tall, deeply tanned man named Rick Roman. Like the men under him, Roman was dressed in a white camouflage snowsuit with matching helmet and dropped-down night vision goggles. On his hip, he carried a holstered Colt 45 automatic pistol. "Quality drop, men. We've got only an hour of darkness ahead of us, so let's get to work. Green Squad as runway detail and Blue Squad as Zodiac and base assembly. Let's move." The men, members of the Army's elite Delta Force, quickly attacked the large crates, spilling their contents. 2 of the boxes each contained a Zodiac inflatable boat along with some cold-weather bivouac gear. The 3rd crate contained 2 Bobcat compact track loaders converted to run on electric batteries. A smaller container inside held additional weapons, ammunition, meals, and medical kits. "Sergeant Bjorkes, would you accompany me, please?" Roman called out. A bull-shaped man with black eyes and prematurely gray hair threw down the side of a crate, then walked over and joined Roman. The Army captain strode off toward an elevated ridge that ran along one side of the landing zone.
"Nice clear night, sir," Bjorkes said.
"Clear and cold as a penguin's butt," Roman replied, grimacing in the 10-degree temperature. He had spent his youth in Hawaii and still hadn't adjusted to cold weather, despite years of Arctic training.
"Could be worse," Bjorkes said, flashing a set of bright white teeth. "At least it ain't snowing."
They hiked up the ridge, stepping over and through rough sections of ice that crunched dryly under their boots. Reaching the crest, they peered across a gentle slope of uneven ice that stretched down the opposite side. The inky black waters of Coronation Gulf rippled a mile away, while 2 miles beyond twinkled the lights of Kugluktuk. Dropped from a low-flying C-130 out of Eielson Air Force Base in Fairbanks, Roman and his team had been sent in to seize and extract the crew of the Polar Dawn on a mission authorized by the President.
"What's your assessment?" Roman asked, staring at the small town's lights. The sergeant was a 20-year man, having served in Somalia and Iraq before being recruited into the elite Delta Forces. Like most of the members of the Arctic Unit, he had served multiple tours in the rugged mountains of Afghanistan.
"Satellite recon looks pretty accurate."
"That plateau's not too chewed up," he said, motioning behind them toward the drop zone.
"We'll get a decent runway cleared, no problem."
He gazed down toward the Gulf waters and raised an arm.
"That stretch to the drink is a little longer than I'd like to see."
"My concern as well," Roman replied. "We've got such short nightfall, I hate to think of the darkness we'll lose just getting the boats into the water."
"No reason we can't get a head start tonight, Captain."
Roman looked at his watch, then nodded. "Get the Zodiacs down as far as you can before daybreak and cover them up. We might as well burn some energy tonight since we have a long day of rest tomorrow." Under the remaining cover of darkness, the small commando team hustled across the ice like rabbits on adrenaline. The men of Green Squad quickly took up the task of carving out an ice runway capable of supporting a pair of CV-22 Ospreys, which would be their ticket out. The drop zone had been selected for just that reason, offering a flat plateau hidden from view yet within striking distance of Kugluktuk. Though the tilt-rotor Ospreys were capable of a vertical landing and takeoff, safety concerns with the fickle Arctic weather prompted orders that they be deployed conventionally. The soldiers measured and marked a narrow 500-foot path across the ice, then put the mini bulldozers to work. Powered for silent running, the tiny machines furiously scraped and shoved the ice until a crude landing strip began to take place. At the edge of the runway, the Blue Squad hacked a small enclosure into the ice, which partially concealed a half-dozen white bivouac tents that served as shelter. Once the camp was complete, the soldiers set about inflating the rubber zodiacs, each boat large enough to carry 20 men. Then the boats were placed on aluminum sled runners for transport over the ice. Roman and Bjorkes led a hand to the four men of Blue Squad as they pushed the two boats across the ice. The southern sky was already beginning to lighten when they reached the crest of the ridge. Roman stopped and rested for a moment, eyeing the distant light of a ship crossing the gulf toward Kugluktuk. Urging the men to keep moving, they started down the slope. Despite the declining grade, they found the ice more jagged and coarse, making the going arduous. The forward runners often jammed into small crevices, requiring added exertion to pull free. The inflatable boats had been pushed a half mile when the golden flames of the sun arced over the southeast horizon. The men fought to trudge the boats faster, knowing the premature exposure was the greatest risk to their mission. Yet Roman abandoned his plan to ditch the boats at first light and pushed the team forward. It took a full hour before the exhausted men finally reached the shores of Coronation Gulf. Roman had the boats flipped upside down and concealed in a blanket of snow and ice. Hastily making their way back to camp, they found the landing strip completed by their cohorts. Roman made a quick inspection, then retired to his tent with a feeling of satisfaction. The mission preparations had gone without a hitch. When the long Arctic day passed, they would be ready to go.